The last few weeks, we've been looking in the book of Acts. We've been studying in Acts. We started really where the persecution had broken out against the church, and the church was scattered. You remember Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached, and many people came to faith. People were baptized. Great things were happening. More leaders came from Jerusalem to help out. And then, surprisingly, Philip was sent on the road again. This time he was heading out and he met an Ethiopian. The man also was saved and was baptized. And then we saw this guy named Saul, who would become Paul, and how God had worked miracles in his life, and how his life totally turned around. Wherever we turn to, really, in the book of Acts, we see God doing some remarkable things in the lives of people, changing the hearts of men and women, and even children, regardless of age, regardless of their background, their culture, even their wretched past. God was able to do some remarkable things and did do some remarkable things in people's lives. That's God, very clearly God at work. That alone should be enough reason for every one of us to be encouraged. People who were going in one direction were literally turned around and changed and gone into a completely different direction. People whose lives were headed to a dead end were given life and meaning and purpose. And of course, one of the most dramatic changes was the one we looked at a couple weeks ago, Saul, who, as we know, was renamed to Paul. What a complete turnaround in his life, you know, from somebody who was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples to being an evangelist for the Lord and going all over the place, and how his whole life was turned around, and really the world was changed because of his testimony as well. Simply marvelous, the works of God. When I think of Paul, I think of how great it was on the one hand, how God did the work, right? God did the work changing a man's heart. On the other hand, God also used Ananias to bring Paul into the life of the Christian community. And I think that's just a wonderful example of how God works with man, cooperates. God and man working together to see lives changed. And really, when you look at the book of Acts, you're seeing lives changed. It's wonderful. For Paul, it meant that his whole future became different. You know, there are times in people's lives when a decision that is made will impact their future. It will change the course of their future from one direction to something completely different. One of the things we learn about Paul, especially appropriate for us today being Thanksgiving, is his mindset. I mean, if there's ever anyone who seemed to be thankful, who was filled with gratitude, it seemed to be Paul. I mean, here was a man who experienced it all, and not just the good stuff, and he was grateful. In fact, when God reached into Paul's life, back on the road to Damascus, God told Ananias that Paul would suffer much throughout his life. Paul didn't know it at the time, but he soon found out what that would mean. It was later on in life that he gave a report of what he had encountered. It's a report that's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're not going to focus on it this morning, but I just wanted to read it to you just the same because it's his testimony. You know, sometimes when we think of somebody who is thankful and thanksgiving, we think of, oh, I've got it so good, and I'm thankful. Listen to Paul's testimony. He says, I have worked much harder, have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And all of this happened to Paul after he became a follower of Christ. Think about it. What kind of a deal is that? We like to think that when we become a Christian, everything will go smoothly. No problems anymore. Smooth sailing. And there's definitely a sense in which life becomes better and smoother, less messed up. Absolutely. But it doesn't mean that life will be easy and filled with what the world would think of as blessings. Paul certainly knew what it was like to face struggles and hardships. You name it. He experienced it. So when Paul comes to the Thessalonians, or writes to the Thessalonians, and he tells them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he tells them to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He is not talking from the perspective of somebody who had it easy. He is not talking from the perspective of somebody who was given everything, who had it all, who could just sort of take it easy, lay back, and say to everyone else who is going through a hard time, oh, give thanks. When he tells the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, he is talking from brutal experience. Truth is, when we think of Thanksgiving, it's only natural for us to think of all the ways that God has blessed us, all the things that God has given us. I could be so selfish in my Thanksgiving. God, you've done so much for me. You have provided me with so much. I am blessed. I am thankful. We think of our family. We think of our home. We think of whatever. And we're grateful, as we should be. But when Paul talks about giving thanks, that's not what he's writing about. He's not talking about, you know, wow, you got a new camel. Isn't that great? Yeah, give thanks. His reality were the hardships of life. He's talking about struggles. He's talking about accusations. He's talking about rejection. He's saying that even in the deepest, darkest, hardest times of life, there is a place for gratitude. Not gratitude for the circumstances we're in, but gratitude in the circumstances. And you say, well, Pastor Norman, you know, how is that possible? There's only one way that I know, and it is the way of faith. It is the way that believes that God is in control, and he does have the best in mind for us. And I realize that that's hard to see at times. The truth is, we focus on our current circumstances, and if our current circumstances are not very good, we feel like, oh, life is falling apart. It's terrible. It's only natural. I understand that. We look at the situation we find ourselves in today. And frankly, sometimes it's not a very pretty picture. And we wonder, well, why is it like this? Why does it have to be this way? And sometimes we think that, will it ever get better? And we think, well, it might not ever get better. And friends, what I want to convey to you this morning is that we need to stop looking at the current today and start looking by faith at what God has for us tomorrow. There were times throughout all kinds of people's lives in the scripture when things didn't look very good that day. The Israelites were in Egypt. They were serving as slaves under cruel taskmasters. It did not look very good that those days. Daniel getting hauled off to face the lions, being thrown into a den of lions. For what reason? For praying. It did not look good for him. Joseph being sold into slavery, then being accused of taking advantage of his master's wife. Things did not look good for him. That was a horrible day. Stephen being martyred for his faith. People throwing stones at him until his body broke up and he died. There was a time when Elijah, the prophet Elijah, wanted to die. That was a bad day. Peter, when he denied Jesus 3 times. No doubt he thought that that was it. I've blown it. This is the end of my time. But in all of these situations, there was a better tomorrow. For the Israelites, they were miraculously led out of Egypt by God's mighty, powerful hand. For Daniel, God used him, brought him out of the lion's den, shut the mouths of the lions, and opened Daniel's mouth to be a voice for God during a dark time. For Joseph, you know, God secured a future for Joseph's family and many others who survived through famine. Stephen, well, he received his reward not on this earth, but in heaven. Before he died, he even prayed for the people who were taking his life. Elijah, he was literally lifted out of this world by special escort. He's a rare situation he had. He was taken into glory. And Peter, well, he became one through whom Christ would build his church. Remarkable, in all of these people and situations, they found themselves one day in a situation and circumstances that were painful, that were bleak, that seemed hopeless. And if they focused solely on that day, man, they would have despaired. And truth is, some of them did despair. But even so, and this is the great part, even when God's people despaired, even though they didn't need to, but they did, God was still faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Friends, God's faithfulness is there, always there, fresh and new every morning. We can trust God to be faithful. In fact, the one thing that Satan absolutely hates is when God's people trust in God. To trust God, despite what I am seeing, despite what my circumstances are in today, to believe, to know that God has plans for us. And friends, that is why when Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica to be thankful in all circumstances, that is why this is so important. Because it's a reflection, it's an expression of our faith in God, our trust in God. For some of you here today, I understand the thought of being thankful in your circumstances would seem rather difficult, if not impossible. I know there are some who faced illnesses of various sorts and continue to do so. Whether it's a physical illness or mental health illness or some other kind, it's hard to imagine things would get better. I asked one person recently how they could be thankful in their circumstances dealing with prolonged illness. And they assured me that faith in God was the key and the support of the people around them. I know some have faced financial challenges. If you just looked at your picture today, it might seem like you're never going to get your head above water. It seems so far beyond reach. And yet I've seen some being faithful to God in the giving of your tithes, a tenth of your earnings, giving it in faith, trusting God. I know some of you have faced loneliness. You see others with someone special in their life, but there isn't that person for you. Maybe after a long time you feel like you might as well give up. On the flip side, there are others who are married, but the joy of marriage seems like a distant memory. And you can't imagine how you could possibly keep your marriage alive and thriving. These are just some examples, some of circumstances that are difficult. Perhaps yours is different. But the effects are similar. If we focus on our circumstances today, we can't imagine how things will ever get better. And that makes it incredibly difficult to be thankful. According to God's word, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Being thankful in our difficult situations is one of the hardest things to do, but it becomes a matter of stubborn faith, believing that God is faithful and he will see us through to a better day. We don't know how God is going to work his plan in the lives of his people, but we do know that God is God and he is good and his love will never fail. Friends, Thanksgiving is more than a celebration. Thanksgiving is more than a feast. Thanksgiving is a way of life that says, I trust God. And there are people in this sanctuary right now who can give testimony to that a whole lot better than I can even. To be able to say, I trusted God in these difficult and dark days. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. There are many times when things looked bleak. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat received news that a great army was coming against him. Far more than what he could handle, what his little collection of people could stand against. These guys were so outnumbered, it wasn't even funny. And he prays to God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Trusting God. Sometimes that's all we can do. Give thanks that God is there. Despite the circumstances, for this is God's will for you. The truth is, anyone could be thankful under the right circumstances. It's easy to be thankful when things are going smooth, but it takes incredible faith to be thankful in all circumstances. And the only way to do that is to trust God. His faithfulness will never run out. And where our faith struggles, because I know it does, but where our faith would struggle, Jesus invites us to come to him, in prayer, and bring ourselves to him. And even if we have struggle, to say, God, help me to have faith. Would you be willing to ask God to help you to have faith if you are in that place of struggle? We're going to take a few moments to do that this morning, and I want to encourage you to take some time together with the Lord in prayer. I'm going to invite Pastor Clayton to come, and he's going to lead us in a song. Give thanks. And while they are coming and while they sing and lead us in song, I want to encourage you. If there is an area, if there is some circumstances in your life that are challenging, and you don't know how you can possibly give thanks, I want to ask if you would just step out in faith. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to have this faith. Help me to trust. Help me to believe that you have something different, better in store. And I want to encourage you, you can pray while where you are seated, for sure. If you'd like to pray at the altars are always a great place for prayer. And perhaps somebody else could come and pray with you. But I would just like to take a few moments and just have a time together in prayer. And Pastor Clayton, lead us, would you? And if you'd like to pray, either in your seat or at the altar, by all means do so. And then after that, we're going to continue with our service and a time for the Lord's Supper together.